Hawaii's broken food system. That is the subject of today's reality check. Jessica Terrell is a deputy editor at Honolulu Civil Beat and joins us today. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this story that you've done online today is the first of a series of stories on this subject.
Yeah, we're going to be spending the next year taking a look at this. I mean, it's such a huge issue for Hawaii. We import somewhere between 80 and 85% of the food that we eat here, and that impacts our cost of living and our health, and it impacts the environment. And as we see now with the pandemic and, of course, concerns every couple of years with hurricanes, it also puts us in a pretty fragile position. So we're going to be taking a deep dive at what it would really take for Hawaii to grow more of its own food and make that accessible at an affordable price to people.
Yeah, and this pandemic certainly has, put the light on the vulnerabilities of our distribution system. You know, we don't grow enough food here to feed everybody, and, we've had shortages.
Yeah, you know, I think Molokai really got a sense of that when they had some COVID cases at the grocery store. And, you know, I was talking to folks over there who said that really drove home how dependent we are on our supply chain. But, you know, when people think about food security here, they're often thinking about how we can get farmers to grow more food. But it's about so much more than that. I mean, it's our entire food system. It's how we grow food, but also how the food is processed and how that makes it to the grocery store shelves or to farmers markets or CSAs. And it's a lot more than lettuce and tomatoes. It's all of our staple crops. It's our pasta and our rice and our bread, and figuring out how to get all of that here. It's a huge challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were talking with some of the large food distribution centers, and they said, yeah, when the shutdown happened, you know, they had to dump a lot of stuff. You know, like, what do you do with all the milk that was supposed to go to all the schools, right, when school was shut down? So there's just so many different facets to examine. Certainly you mentioned the farmers markets. You know, they did the farm-to-car program, right? Just because they couldn't get people out to the markets.
Yeah, but the farm to car, I mean, one of the silver linings of the pandemic from people that I've talked to has also been how many, there's so much food insecurity during the pandemic. We've seen those huge lines to the food distributions at Aloha Stadium. But a lot of food banks are also able to buy local food right now because it's not going to hotels and to tourists. And so there's actually been a lot of local access to at least local produce, more than we would see regularly. So that's been a bit of a silver lining. And things like farm to car and different like boxes that are being shipped or dropped off or delivered to people now of local vegetables, but also meat and meal prep, really is expanding how people are getting food from small farms, which is an exciting thing.
And you talk to growers at Ma'o Organic Farms and Kualoa Ranch?
Yeah, we talk to farmers, and we're going to be talking to a lot more of them. I mean, the sense from people that I've talked to is that the solution to this has to involve everybody. It has to involve small growers and big growers. We need a lot more big growers to make an economic price point where people can afford local food. We need to make it easier for people to do subsistence farming. I mean, it's going to take efforts in every direction. And that's the other, I think, silver lining in the pandemic right now is that there's a new urgency to this and a new sense of collaboration. You know, a lot more nonprofits are talking to each other and talking to food growers and really trying to identify, like, what are the bottlenecks that are stopping us from being able to make some progress on this? Because it's not a new problem, right? We've known about this for decades, and we've been working on it for decades without a whole lot of large systemic movement, it seems like.
You know, and of the local farmers that we've reached out to, I mean, they're pretty jazzed. You know, they say, oh, people really see how important we are, and they're trying, you know, our local locally grown celery or things that you normally would be buying in the supermarket that come from, you know, California or wherever. And so the farmers are jazzed, but what I'm wondering is, you know, where are our government officials? You know, do we have a plan to grow our farmers?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And what I'm hearing from people is really that it's farmers and nonprofits now that are coming together, and food distributors, like a lot of other people, not necessarily the state government leading the way on this right now. But there is a lot of energy in this area. And yeah, a lot of folks who really want to see where their food is coming from and try to support farmers in a way, because they see the value of that now with the pandemic. So hopefully we've got some really good energy going toward this as we figure a way out of our problem.
Okay, looking forward to your stories. Thanks so much, Jessica.
Thank you.
That was Deputy Editor Jessica Terrell with today's Reality Check. To read her stories, go to civilbeat.org.